I know I'm okay. Let us pray. Father God, we praise you, Lord. We bless and we honor your name, Lord. We thank you for this day. And we humble ourselves in your sight. Lord, we recognize how great and how mighty you are. We recognize how impotent we are without you. We fully acknowledge that without you, we can't do anything, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Father, we give this time to you. We honor you. We humbly submit it to you, recognizing, Lord, that we need you. We need your voice. We need your wisdom. We need your guidance, your directions, the power and the wisdom of your spirit. I thank you for these, my brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, the opportunity to fellowship with them, to share your word. We give this time to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Speaking just a bit this morning from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. I'll be reading from the New International Version. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. These are the words that were penned by the great Apostle Paul to the church at Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 reads, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Give thanks in all circumstances. I've heard a number of sermons preached from this particular verse, and I must admit to you, some of them were kind of weird and freaky. I've heard people being encouraged, if your house catches on fire, to thank God that your house caught on fire, or any calamity that happened, to thank God for the calamity. And I just thought that was a bit weird. And as I look in scriptures, I don't think that, well, not that I don't think, but I know that that is not what God is encouraging us to do. So rest, kind of relax. I'm not going to tell you whatever traumas you've been through to thank God for them. That's not the import of this message. The reality is that we live in a fallen world, and that Christians aren't immune to the calamities that beset us in life. Oftentimes, we either consciously or subconsciously, we try to create heaven on earth. I know I do it too. And when I say that, we desire, you know, Jesus said that in this world, you have trouble, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. And I understand that Jesus said that, but somewhere in my subconscious, it's like, I don't want no problems, I don't want no trials, I don't want no tribulations, I don't want no sickness, I don't want no death. In other words, there's a subconscious desire on my part to create heaven on earth. And thank God we know that through Jesus Christ we have the blessed assurance that one day we will be in heaven. That there will be no more sin, there will be no more death, there will be no trials, there will be no tribulations. In heaven, there's no funeral home. In heaven, there's no police department. In heaven, there are no hospitals or doctors or specialists or MD Andersons or whatever, Thibodeau General or whatever hospitals that we know of, because we know that heaven is a pristine environment. And there's something inside of me that desires for a pristine life. But in fact, that is not the reality. And though we are Christians, when we're confronted with sickness, disease, death, calamities, just like non-Christians, we become distraught, we become angry, we become disillusioned. At least I do. I don't know about you all. Maybe there's some Christians here who have gone, what Paul said, went up to the seventh heaven. Maybe some Christians here have gone up to the seventh heaven, and when their trials and tribulations and difficulties and disillusions, y'all say, hallelujah, praise God, thank God. That ain't me. I haven't reached that point, and I don't think I ever reach it. As a matter of fact, I don't want to reach it. The Bible says, even though the Bible says to give thanks in all things, the scripture is saying to give thanks not for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. But the reality is that a lot of times when we hear scriptures, we feel like we have to accomplish it on our own. When the scripture says to give thanks in all things, a lot of times in our mind, I got to kind of psych myself up to, even though this is a trial, this is a difficulty, I have to psych myself up to give thanks. The problem is that I'm placing upon myself the responsibility to try to motivate myself emotionally to give thanks. And what happens when I do things like that, or when we do things like that, we take the focus off God. The emphasis on this scripture is the emphasis on the power to accomplish, to be able to give thanks in all circumstances. The emphasis is not on us, but it's on the power of God. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will. God is the focal point of this, not us. Not us trying to encourage ourselves, or, as we say in the ghetto, to try to psych ourselves up to give thanks. But the reality is that the emphasis is that we have to depend on the power of God. Lucas is fine. For this is God's will in you, in Christ Jesus. So again, the emphasis is not on us, it's on the power of God. The emphasis is not on us, but it's in relationship with Jesus Christ. I stated a lot of times, an author by the name of Bill Milliken, who I really appreciate a lot, and he says that sermons don't change people, programs don't change people. It's only in relationships that we'll change. And number one, a vertical relationship with God and a horizontal relationship with each other. And sometimes when I say that, I kind of get mixed up with between vertical and horizontal. Sometimes I'll say vertical and I point to horizontal. And sometimes I say horizontal and I point to vertical. So that's the reason why I kind of was kind of careful to try to get that right. Though it is often suggested that we should immediately thank God when faced with calamity, this is not what the scripture is suggesting. Sometimes we're affected by what we read or the testimonies of other people. I remember when I, in my younger days as a Christian, I read The Hiding Place, the story of Corrie ten Boom. I don't know if any of you guys had the opportunity to read The Hiding Place. And I was immediately impressed with, for those of you who don't know, the ten Boom family were in Nazi Germany. They were held captive for hiding Jews, and a lot of Corey's relatives were murdered, sent to the gas chambers, and experienced the atrocities of Nazi Germany. And Corey survived, and not only did she survive, but God from that sprang a ministry. And she said that one day as she was ministering, a person who was one of the Nazi officials in the concentration camp where they were housed came to her and asked her for forgiveness. And she said she thought about it and she immediately forgave him. And at that time, I was immediately impressed. That was something like 30 years ago. And I'm not doubting the veracity that happened, but I am quizzical as to whether that was the entire story. After 30 years of counseling people who've gone through calamities and trials and tribulations, the reality is that most people don't forgive immediately. And I'm not saying that can't happen, but that's an anomaly. If it did happen like that, that's a miracle. But I often wonder, when Corey went home and she thought about the reality of her sister, her father being murdered at the hands of these Nazi criminals, did the bitterness return? Did the doubts about where God was, did that return? I wonder. I wonder about that. And sometimes we're affected by the testimonies of people who give testimonies of miracles of God. Somebody who has cancer and was miraculously healed. And they give testimony, and the church says, "Hallelujah, praise God! What a great God we serve!" But what about the Christian who has cancer and who has to go through chemo and radiation to be healed? What about the Christian who has cancer and God decided to take them home? What about those testimonies? When we hear those testimonies, do we give glory to God? And that's one of the things that oftentimes that I wonder and think about. The reality is that sometimes we forgive, but there's a concept in counseling that's called forgiveness, but without emotional integrity. And what that means is that we forgive them with our minds, but in our hearts there's still bitterness, there's still anguish. There's still the necessity to grieve, because oftentimes when people do things to offend us, we lose something. And God is more a God of processes than events. And for some reason, we attempt to make him a God of events. The reality is that thankfulness, being thankful in all things, is a process that occurs in relationship with Christ. Listen to the words of the scriptures. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will. It's God's will for us. When the scripture says it's God's will for us, it's not saying that God is demanding that. It's God's will. It's God's desire to bless us. And when we hear that God's will, it's like, well, God wants me to say thank you. God wants me to be thankful, so I have to be thankful in order to impress God. But it's not that God is trying to get us to impress him. It's God's trying to bless us. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. The emphasis is not on saying thank you or being thankful. The emphasis is on God's power in relationship with Jesus Christ, the circumstance that God organically produces thankfulness in our lives. And so when we say thank you, it's not because some minister got up and said, well, you know, you've been through a trial, a difficulty, and you need to say thank you. It's about God organically producing thankfulness in our lives. One of the greatest tragedies that happened in my life was my mother's death. And people would say, your mother's death, that's a tragedy? She was 85 years old. She was debilitated. She had no quality of life. And people said, well, that's a tragedy. You should be happy. She's at home with the Lord. She's whole. That may be true. But at the same time, I love my mother and I grieve and I miss her. So for me, it was a tragedy. And I went through the grieving process. With me, all of us grieve differently. With me, and we know the process of grieving is denial, anger inward. We get angry with ourselves. Anger outward. We get angry with God. We even get angry with the person who died. With me, it was like, Mom, why did you leave me? And I remember thinking right after my mother died, and it was this word picture. In this word picture, me and my mother, we were at a shopping center. We were shopping together, and she was holding my hand, and we were walking. And all of a sudden, she disappeared. And somebody came to me. And this is I'm seeing it as a little child. And somebody came to me and said, your mother's gone, and she's never coming back. That was the word picture of my grieving process. And I went through grief therapy and the process and the anger and the denial and stuff. And I remember about 3 years later, I was at a friend of mine's funeral. And I saw in my mind, it would be more spiritual if I said, I saw a vision from heaven of my mother. That would sound spiritual. But in my mind, I saw I saw my mother, and I saw her with a smile on her face. Now, this was 3 years later, 4 years later. And I thought, I said, wow, you know, she's whole. She's no longer debilitated. She has a smile on her face. She's in her right mind. And there was a suggestion. And God suggested, he said, would you like to give your mother back to me? It wasn't a demand. It wasn't you ought to do that. It was a calm and loving suggestion. And I said, yes, I would love to give my mother back to you. And so people say, well, you know, now he's giving his mother back to God. But that began the process of being thankful that my mother is in heaven. She's whole. She's in her right mind. She's no longer debilitated. But the process is not over. I'm thankful that she's in her right mind. I'm thankful that she's happy. But there's still a part of me that's still grieving that misses my mother. And this is a part of the process of being thankful. And what I'm suggesting to you is that just as God is infinite, thankfulness is infinite. Sometimes we may be thankful. We may be thankful to God that I'm in the process. We may be thankful to God that though I'm still angry and I have resentment, still I hate what you did, I'm thankful that you're walking with me. It may be thankfulness that even though I'm still angry and I'm not ready to enter into the process of becoming thankful, and I don't know if I'll ever be willing to go through this process, I'm thankful that you're patient and you still love me even though I'm not ready and I refuse to go. It's like Job. We know the story of Job. And most sermons that I've heard dealing with Job is either the beginning or the end. I've heard so many bad sermons about Job where Job said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And when we lose somebody, we should say, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But they just haven't read the rest of the story. The rest of the story, Job was talking from his mind. And oftentimes when we hear these sermons about we need to be thankful, they're talking about we need to be thankful from our minds rather than allowing God to organically produce thankfulness. And so it was with Job. Job was speaking from his mind. God wanted to hear from his heart. And so God began to raise up the fire, hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter. And finally, Job began to, this discourse with God, this vomit began to come out. And people talk about Job's wife. Job's wife told him, curse God and die. And people say, and Job said, you must be a crazy woman. And I've heard some. Job never cursed God. He did. Job said, may curse may be the day that I was born. May they not have been hands to receive me. This is what God wanted from Job. God wanted to hear his heart. He wanted to hear the anguish. He wanted to hear the anger. He wanted to hear the disappointment because he loved him. And so Job got it all out. He got this vomit out, the anger, the disappointment. And then when he was ready, then God began to say, where were you when I created? Where were you when I dispersed the snow and the heavens? Because he was ready then to hear how good God is in all circumstances. But he went through the process. And because he went through the process, at the end, he was able to express. He was able to express the thankfulness that God had organically produced in his life. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by my spirit, said the Lord of hosts. God does not constrain us to do anything on our own. His desire for us to submit to him. And by his spirit to produce organic thankfulness in our lives. For me, it was finally, after 4 years, to be able to say, thank you, Lord, that my mother is in heaven and she's whole. Even though I still grieve and I still cry, I still miss her sorely. But God was able to produce thankfulness in my life. And just as God is infinite, God can produce whatever circumstances or trial or difficulty that you've gone through. God is able to produce organic thankfulness in your life. What type of thankfulness he will produce, I don't know. But the scripture says, now unto him who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask, think, or imagine, according to his power in us. God may take you through a process where there's an event in your life and he may produce thankfulness because of that circumstances that you have no idea of what organically God will produce. My encouragement to you, I know you've gone through trials. I know you've gone through difficulties. I know you've experienced calamities. I know you've experienced disappointments with God. I know you probably, if you've been honest with yourself, I know you've probably been angry with God, some of the things that you've allowed. But my word of encouragement to you is that God's love is so infinite and unconditional that he loves us. And he understands us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we're fallen. He realizes that we're dust. He knows we're human. He knows we become disappointed. He knows we become upset. He knows we become anguished. And as a result, his grace is more than sufficient. And he's able to produce loving, organic thankfulness in our lives. But it's a process. It's not an event that we move towards as we walk with Jesus in his spirit. Father God, we praise you. We thank you. We bless and honor your name, Lord. I'm just amazed at your glory. Lord, I am so messed up and so confused most of the time. And so become angry with you and upset because you're not doing things the way I want you to do them at the right time. But yet still, you love me and you're patient with me. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for loving me in spite of myself. I thank you for your grace, Lord. I thank you for your grace with my mother's death. When she died, I never thought I'd reach the point where I'd be able to say thank you for anything. But organically, by your spirit, you produce it in my life. And you're not done with me. And I thank you for it, Lord, that I have more to look forward to. And I thank you for these, my brothers and sisters in Christ, who you love just as much as you love me. And I pray, Lord, for healing whatever trials and difficulties and calamities that they've gone through, that organically you'd heal and produce thankfulness in your wisdom in their lives.